This is 1A. I'm Joshua Johnson in Washington. The Academy Awards gave many of us a bit of a break from the news, but news was still being made outside of Hollywood, much of it on the opposite coast at the White House. It's sending some mixed signals on how firm the president is on imposing steel and aluminum tariffs. America's trading partners, as well as a number of American manufacturers, are raising some strong concerns about those tariffs. Some are even warning of a trade war. Also, the White House has a high-profile visitor today, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. He leaves behind some serious troubles at home for a meeting with President Trump and also to speak at the annual policy conference of AIPAC, America's pro-Israel lobby. Elsewhere in the world, Italy's election returns show that nation is embracing some anti-EU and anti-establishment movements. And in Syria, the government finally allows some humanitarian aid to reach a besieged area near Damascus, though not medical supplies. Plenty to discuss, and we could not think of a better person to discuss it with to begin this hour than Nicholas Burns, former ambassador, U.S. ambassador to NATO, having served three presidents, George H.W. Bush, Bill Clinton, and George W. Bush. Now he is a professor at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government. Ambassador Burns, welcome to 1A.
Thank you very much.
I should note, we will only have the ambassador for the beginning of the program. So if you have questions or thoughts on any of the stories going on around the world that I mentioned, send them in right away. Email us, 1A@WAMU.org, comment on our Facebook page, or tweet us at 1A. Ambassador Burns, let's start with this whole thing about tariffs. The president has said he will impose 25% tariffs on imported steel, 10% tariffs on imported aluminum. Some folks have claimed that this is exactly the way you start a trade war. What do you think?
Well, I think that, you know, certainly the president, all of our presidents have the responsibility to defend American business from unfair trade practices overseas. And I think most of us believe that China is the greatest violator of World Trade Organization standards. But these recent tariffs on steel and aluminum are not really going to hit China very hard. You know, we import about 2% of our need is from China. It's going to hit the Canadians and the European allies hardest. And to look at some of President Trump's tweets over the weekend, they were very aggressive against the European, warning that if Europe retaliates, the president then wants to retaliate by keeping German and French automobiles out of the United States. You do worry that if this turns into a trade war, it's going to be with our best friends in the world and not with the biggest problem in the international system, and that's China.
Speaking of tweets, here's part of what the president tweeted just this morning. He wrote, quote, "We have large trade deficits with Mexico and Canada. NAFTA, which is under renegotiation right now, has been a bad deal for USA. Massive relocation of companies and jobs. Tariffs on steel and aluminum will only come off if new and fair NAFTA agreement is signed. Also, Canada must treat our farmers much better. Highly restrictive," unquote. That's part of two tweets that the president sent this morning. Ambassador Burns, what do you think of that? This idea of NAFTA being under renegotiation right now, number one, I don't think Canada and Mexico have said that they're eager to renegotiate NAFTA at all. And then two, the import of this tweet. Is this just bluster or is this a real threat to make these tariffs happen if NAFTA isn't changed?
Oh, I think it's a real threat. I think by now we know that President Trump is really focused on trade. The biggest change, arguably, that he's made in American foreign policy is to deny the free trade basis of American trade policy over the last 70 years. Our Republican, especially, and Democratic presidents have all favored the big multilateral trade agreements because they've really lifted the American economy and a lot of other economies. There's no question that NAFTA, which was agreed in 1994, needed to be modernized. Even its supporters acknowledge that. But the president's now talking about actually possibly walking away from it. We'll see where he goes in the negotiations. That would be a major mistake. We have a symbiotic economic and social arrangement with both Mexico and Canada. They're such important partners. The idea that you'd walk away from a very successful free trade agreement that has benefited the majority of Americans, and there's no question about that, that's just, it's really out of the question.
Well, I think there are a lot of Americans who have questions about how much NAFTA has benefited us, particularly those who I think are key to President Trump's base, who feel like the change in trade policy cost them a lot of jobs by creating one open market between Canada and Mexico and the U.S.
Well, there are certainly a lot of Americans who feel that way, but they're not in the majority. And I don't think there are any economists out there who are saying that the majority of the American people have been hurt by trade or by NAFTA over the last 23 or 4 years. And so the problem that President Trump has, he's tearing down this structure of free trade in the Pacific between the U.S. and Europe and here in North America, but he's not replacing it with anything. And he's giving the lead now to China to be the great force in global trade, and China doesn't believe what we believe in terms of fair play, following the rules. So he's striking, President Trump is striking out wildly, but the countries that he's focused on are our closest allies, and he's not doing much to focus on the Chinese at all. I think that's the major problem we have right now with the Trump trade policy.
Regarding tariffs, Aaron wrote on our website, the1a.org, it's so strange to see Republicans advocating for tariffs. It's like up is down and left is right. We want to move on from tariffs since we only have you for just a moment and talk a little bit about this visit from Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. They will meet today. Neither of them plans to take questions from the press. We know that both of them are facing investigations in their respective countries. We know that the U.S. has announced plans to move our embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. What do you see as the impact of this visit? Is it mostly a photo op, or is there something substantive, solid that we should expect?
Oh, I think it's a very important visit. The good thing is that the Trump administration, President Trump, has reestablished close ties with Israel. We need that to happen. I actually think the lead issue here might be Syria, because the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps and Hezbollah have moved their encampments closer to the Israeli border, in some cases within sight of the Golan Heights. There's been a lot of tension between Iran and Israel. The Iranians tried 3 weeks ago to fly a drone across the Israeli border. The Israelis shot it down. The Israelis have been bombing Iran's attempts to deliver missiles to Hezbollah in Lebanon. And so I think one of the primary Israeli concerns now is that as the Syrian crisis continues, are the Iranians actually now beginning to challenge the Israelis and potentially even Israel's borders? Could there be a wider conflict? And obviously it's going to be in the interest of the U.S., at least in my view, to give full support to Israel and to warn the Iranians away from trying to challenge the Israelis militarily. I think that issue right now is more pertinent and more pressing even than the Israeli-Palestinian issue.
Speaking of Iran, you have made your views pretty clear about the need to stick with the Iran nuclear deal. I wonder what you think in terms of the previous saber rattling from the White House. President Trump said he was very, very serious about walking away from the deal. That has yet to happen. But what do you think about where that stands now?
Well, the president has made clear he thinks it's the worst deal in the history of negotiations, which it's not. He's going to have to review this deal again in May, and I hope he won't walk out, because if he walks out, the Iranians win. They've already achieved the relief from sanctions, and if he walks out and if the deal begins to fold and to crumble, the Iranians won't have the restrictions on them that were put in place back in 2015. I don't think it's a perfect deal, but certainly American interests are being met. The Iranians are abiding by it, according to the International Atomic Energy Agency, and it's in our interest to keep them frozen and not to see them, either through plutonium or the uranium enrichment process, proceed towards building a nuclear weapon in the future. So I think both Prime Minister Netanyahu and President Trump have been opponents of this. I think they've been wrong to oppose it, and I hope that they don't encourage each other to oppose it further.
A few more quick things I'd like to ask you before we have to let you go. Regarding Syria, there were reports earlier today that a convoy of about 46 trucks that was organized by the UN was stripped of medical supplies before it entered Eastern Ghouta, this neighborhood east of Damascus that's been attacked by the regime quite a bit. We know the options in Syria are not good. We've seen the role that Russia has played in the region. I wonder where you see this heading. I mean, the fact that some kind of convoy could get in, it's kind of progress, isn't it?
Well, in large part, the ceasefire that was voted upon by the UN Security Council a week ago has not held. The Assad regime has violated it. There have been vicious attacks on the civilian population. It seems that they're just trying to terrify that population by killing, maiming people to drive them out, so that the Assad army can move in. Russia's is complicit with this, and the United States has has not responded. We've not been a major force politically on the ground. I think it would behoove the Trump administration to increase our involvement, because one of the big issues here is, how do you establish a permanent ceasefire, and then how do you begin to work on piecing Syria back together in terms of a new transitional government? Those are critical issues, and if we don't use our influence, and if the war continues, more death, more refugees. This is already 12 million Syrian homeless produced by this war.
Last quick question for you, Ambassador. Since you were an ambassador, I'd love to know your thoughts on the current state of the U.S. diplomatic corps and what happens now in terms of career diplomats or new diplomats being able to represent the U.S. around the world.
Well, the State Department's been under siege by the Trump administration. 30% proposed budget cut for the next fiscal year, firing of officers, and I think an exodus of our most senior officers who are resigning. Many of them are retiring early in frustration because the Trump administration has not been filling the majority of our ambassadorships. We don't have an American ambassador in Turkey or in South Korea, for instance. Mm-hmm. And in my experience, when I go back to the Carter administration, we've never had an American administration less supportive of diplomacy and of the career foreign service. It's a great crisis. I hope Congress will step up to block some of the worst aspects of Trump policy.
Nicholas Burns, former U.S. Ambassador to NATO. Ambassador, thanks very much for talking to us.
Thank you. Pleasure to be with you.
I'm Joshua Johnson. You're listening to 1A from WAMU and NPR.